Let's read the Word of God this morning, beginning in Matthew 27. We'll pick up the reading where the women witnessed the burial of Jesus Christ on Friday. We'll read through verse 10 of Matthew 28. The text that we will focus on is especially verses 5 through 10 of Matthew 28. I won't reread that, so pay special attention to verses 5 through 10 of Matthew 28. Matthew 27 and verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. And Jesus Matthew 28, verse 64, 27, verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, and notice he didn't say this to the soldiers, he said this to the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Thus far we read the Word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of His Word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look at the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we know that there was a group of more than four women who went not only to see the sepulchre, as Matthew says it here, but who went early on that Sunday morning to the graveyard to finish preparing the body of Jesus Christ for burial. We read in Matthew 27 that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had done some work to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. We know from the testimony of the gospel accounts that they did use some myrrh to counteract the smell of a dead body. We know that they wrapped the body of Jesus Christ in linen clothes. But the women went on that Sunday morning with their spices and with their other ointments so that they could finish that work of preparing the body of Jesus Christ for burial. In this, we do have to say that we see the weakness of the faith of the women. The women are going to finish the work of preparing Jesus' body for burial because they believe that Jesus is still dead. And that means that they did not believe the word of Jesus Christ himself. That word the angel points them to when the angel says, "He is risen as he said." And that means that if the women had a strong faith and believed fully the word of Jesus Christ, they would not have gone to the graveyard to seek Jesus Christ. The graveyard is the place of the dead. If they believed that Jesus would, as he said, the third day rise again to life, so that he would be alive the third day, they would not have gone to the place of the dead to seek the living. That they go to the cemetery then, the graveyard, means that they don't believe that Jesus is living. They believe that he's dead. That's why they go to the place of the dead. Their faith was weak. And yet it is noteworthy. We see in Matthew 27, there is a love, a devotion, a loyalty of these women to Jesus Christ that we don't find even in the disciples. The women were determined to be there when Jesus died. The women were determined to be there when Jesus was buried on Friday night. And the women were determined to be there first thing Sunday morning to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. And the absence of the disciples causes us to see that in contrast with them, there was a certain love and loyalty and devotion of the women that is very noteworthy. What an astonishing experience then the women went through when they finally did arrive at the cemetery. We read of it and we know of astonishing events that the women didn't even necessarily know about. They probably did know when they arrived at the grave that they didn't have to roll the stone away because the angel did that for them. What they probably didn't know is that the Jews had set a watch at the tomb so that there were soldiers there Friday night, all through the Sabbath day on Saturday and early Sunday morning. Unbeknownst to the women, God removed those soldiers from being an obstacle for the women. The angel appeared to them and caused them to quake with fear and first fall down as dead men and then flee in terror from the presence of the angel and from the tomb. And then, when the women heard the angel's explanation of what was going on, how astonished they were to find out, "We do not need to anoint the body of Jesus Christ." Why? Well, the angel explains that in what is good news, the gospel. It's not bad news. The angel does not say to the women, he's not here because his body has been removed somehow. Then the women would have thought that's bad news because Jesus, being still dead, yet needs to be prepared for burial, but we can't do that for him because we don't know where his dead body is. No, the news is good news. You do not need to prepare Jesus' body for burial because his body isn't here, because he isn't dead anymore. He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And thus, the women were the first New Testament believers to hear the good news, the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were the first, but they were not the last. For in this text, we have not only the record of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what happened when he rose again the third day, but we actually have here God establishing that this is the mandate of his church. This is the mandate of his people to go forth and continue to proclaim the truth. Jesus Christ isn't dead. He is risen. He's alive. And so let's consider this morning the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, the wonderful message, or the central message, as it has to do with Jesus, that he's not dead, he's alive. Secondly, we consider the blessings of the resurrection gospel for us. That gospel carries blessings to you and me. And then thirdly, we consider the required response. The good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a very simple gospel message that even the children understand. What's the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? He who was dead is now living. He who was buried on Friday because he was dead is alive again. Good news. What great news. That's not normal. That something that was dead is alive again. That's not what we experience. That's not what we expect. And even though this has been the gospel declared in the church for thousands of years, and even though now we can read about it in the scriptures and we hear about it every Sunday, really, we ought to recognize what astounding good news that is. He who was dead is alive again. When we experience this life right now, for the most part, we experience the reality of dying and death, and the things that die, they do not come back to life. This isn't trivial. When you have a pet that dies, there's an experience in this life of death, and the reality that you know that that goldfish, that cat, that dog is not coming back to life. And so when that pet dies, you experience this reality. There's one thing to do with it. We have to dispose of this dead body. It's never going to live again. Again, it's not trivial. We experience that all around us in the plant world. A tree that dies, flowers that die, maybe a house plant that we bestow so much care upon because that plant is special to us. Maybe because of its beauty, but maybe because of who gave us that plant and the occasion for which they gave us that plant. We want that plant to live, and we know that if that plant were allowed to die, that there's nothing we could do about it. That plant that means something to us, we're going to have to get rid of it because it's dead and it's not going to live again. And that is our experience too when it comes to the death of our family members and our friends. We know what cemeteries are, don't we? Why, when our loved one dies, do we bury them in the ground? because we know they're not going to live again. And when we bury them, why do we go back to the cemetery to visit their body? Because we know 3 days later, they're not going to come back to life. They're going to be there in the cemetery. And a year later, and decades later, that's our experience. We believe in the resurrection of the body. That's true. And in the future, we will experience that. But right now, imagine what great good news it would be if someone came to you and said, "This is a reality today. As the angel said to those women some 2,000 years ago, this is a reality today. Someone who died 3 days ago isn't dead anymore. He's alive. He's alive." This was something supernatural, not natural, not normal. Something amazing that the angel was explaining to the women. That same Jesus who was buried in a real tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he was buried here in this cemetery on Friday in the place of the dead because he was dead. He's not here anymore because he's not dead anymore. He's risen. He is alive. Now come see the place where the Lord lay. And then the women saw the emptiness of the tomb. And when we speak of the emptiness of the tomb, we're speaking of the body of the dead person. If there is a dead body in a tomb, we say that tomb is occupied, that tomb is filled. If there would be no body in that tomb, we would say that tomb is empty, it's not occupied. Another body can maybe be buried in that grave. But when the women looked into the tomb, it was unoccupied. No one was there, no body was to be found. What they did see were the grave clothes. How do you remove your clothes? The children maybe know something of taking off their clothes and throwing them in a pile in the corner of the room. That's not what the women saw. The grave clothes in a pile in the corner of the tomb. Or maybe you think of someone who's been wrapped up that way to take those grave clothes off. Maybe he's going to tear them off, cut them off. That's not what the women saw. The women saw those grave clothes as they had been wrapped around the head and the body of Jesus Christ, and they could still see, flattened now, not in 3D, but flattened, they could see the outline of the body of Jesus Christ, which was a revelation to them and to us that in this resurrection life, Jesus is risen from the dead indeed. That is, he's risen beyond death. He has a new, glorious body that could somehow come out of those grave clothes in a special way and that could leave the tomb before the stone was rolled away. Good news. Jesus, whom you saw die, Jesus whom you saw buried, Jesus whom you loved, and his death caused you such great grief, he's not dead. He is risen. That's the simple gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He who is dead is alive. But now we need to give a little content and notice two more things about this reality that Jesus, who was dead, is alive. First of all, let's take note of the fact that when the angel refers to Jesus Christ, the angel refers to him as the Lord. In verse 6, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." And the significance of this is that by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ declares himself to be Lord, sovereign Lord and Master, who has all authority and power. to see that too in the text, you have to understand, I believe, it's a little bit difficult to know how to translate those words, he is risen in the text, but I believe that it would be more accurate to say he arose, to emphasize Jesus' activity, to emphasize that this rising from the dead is not just something that God did, God raised him, but the angel's word to the women is, Jesus did this. Jesus, as sovereign Lord, raised himself from the dead to life. That was very important for the women and the disciples to hear, as well as for you and me. You and I, of course, have the benefit of hindsight in the Word of God to understand the full significance, the beauty, really, of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But for the women and the disciples, there was something very grievous about that. That death of Jesus on the cross, the one they looked at as the Messiah, the Son of David, the one that they believed would be the conquering king, the Savior, that death of Jesus Christ called into question whether Jesus really was Lord, the sovereign Lord and Master who is over everything. It seemed to them that he was overtaken by death, that Jesus was not Lord of death, but that death was the Lord of Jesus. And now in his resurrection, Jesus Christ has proved, and now the angel is sent by Jesus to proclaim this truth, that death and the grave were never in control of Jesus, never sovereign over Jesus. Jesus went through death and the grave to demonstrate that he is Lord, that he has power over death and the grave. And that's declared in his resurrection. The good news, then, is that Jesus Christ is risen in power as the Lord of life who is sovereign over sin, death, and the grave. Secondly, the good news is that Jesus' word is true. That phrase, Jesus is risen as he said, is important. And that Jesus' word is important is also found in those words at the end of verse 7. I have told you. The angel is saying, I have told you, but now understand, in the name of Jesus Christ. This word of Jesus Christ is of great importance. The women maybe didn't see that at this time, but in the resurrection, Jesus Christ was keeping a promise that he made to the women and to his disciples, and we need to see the significance of that. Because Jesus said this, I will rise the third day, and even, it's interesting, the enemies of Jesus Christ recognized that, and they called him a deceiver. And that right there is the issue. If Jesus Christ did not fulfill this word and rise again from the dead on the third day, he'd be a fraud, a deceiver. And all of the claims that he made to be the Son of God, the Son of David, the mediator who brings salvation for sinners, all of those claims would be proven to be fraudulent. Jesus Christ rising on the third day confirms that his word is true, his word is without error, his word is reliable, and you understand that's the word that we depend upon yet today. We believe the resurrection, not seeing as eyewitnesses the truth that Jesus rose from the dead, without seeing, but hearing, we believe this gospel, this is true. Jesus died and is risen again. That is not, then, first of all, the word of the angel. An angel, is a messenger. That's what the word angel means. He brings the word of his Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And it is interesting, isn't it, that the angel commissioned the women. You go now and you spread the word to the disciples that Jesus Christ is not dead but risen. And maybe we have here a little bit of foreshadowing of Pentecost, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be poured out on all flesh, men and women. And women anointed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ in the office of believer as prophets also are called to speak forth in the name of Jesus. This is the truth. He's not dead. He is risen. But then this is true for the disciples too. They first of all are called officially in the name of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel of the resurrection, and then after the disciples, every minister of the gospel likewise is commissioned by this text. Here's the gospel that Jesus Christ sends out the preachers of the word to declare. And so I take this passage that way this morning, and so must you. Not only is here the record that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but this is recorded in a sense saying to the church, to all of the members, to the preachers of the gospel, now this is the good news that you are to publish everywhere in the world. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God who died and who rose again to save sinners. And so, this is not my word to you this morning. This is not my good news to bring to you. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ as His word that is reliable, that you are to believe. Jesus Christ is risen as the living Lord. That's good news to you and me that brings to us great blessedness. First of all, notice the theme in the text that there is nothing to fear. Verse 5, the angel's word, which remember the angel was sent by Jesus to bring to the women, fear not. And then verse 10, Jesus says to them, be not afraid. And maybe you think, well, when the angel said, fear not, that simply meant, don't be afraid at the radiance, the glory, and the holiness of my presence. And that's about it. And then that we shouldn't make too much of this and say no. This was actually a resurrection message of the angel to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus isn't here, and because He is risen from the dead as the living Lord, you have nothing to fear. But then when you look at Jesus' command to the women in verse 10, and then you look in the light of the rest of Scripture, and the message of Scripture in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you recognize that is exactly the message of Scripture and of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, because He has conquered death in the grave, those who believe in Jesus have nothing to fear. That's confirmed in the Gospel of John in, first of all, chapter 14, I call to your attention. Jesus, you may remember in John chapter 14, was preparing His disciples for the fact that He was going to go away from them. He's going to go away from them, yes, in His death, but then He would rise again. And then 40 days after that, He was going to go away from them in His ascension and go to heaven. And Jesus is preparing them for that, saying, now, be not afraid. I go away from you to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. And until then, in verse 27, this was the message of Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's the great message of the resurrection to the people of God. This is the blessing for you. From a negative point of view, you don't have to be afraid of anything. From a positive point of view, peace. Peace. Peace that delivers from all fear. Peace that passes understanding. And then in John 20, there's an important scene. On the first day of the week, Sunday, the disciples and the women are gathered together in the upper room. And this is the first time that Jesus Christ is present with the congregation of his saints gathered together on a Sunday. And the first time that Jesus Christ addresses them. And what are the first words he speaks? No, he does not say, be not afraid, but he says, peace be with you. And he says that again, first of all in verse 19, and then again in verse 21, indicating that this is the blessing of the resurrection for the people of God. Of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to be afraid of. And let that message be repeated and emphasized. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Peace, peace be unto you. Peace that the world does not give. Or, using now the language of fear, deliverance from fear that the world does not give, because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, you have a peace and a deliverance from fear that those who do not know Jesus and his resurrection do not have. Now I ask you to consider this morning, what fear does the world deliver from? Even when you think of lesser fears, does the world deliver from them and guarantee safety? Maybe this isn't so trivial to you, but maybe it is. You're driving down the road and you have some fear of a car crash. Can the world deliver you from that fear? There are new driving technologies being developed, and someday with driverless cars, perhaps the world is going to say we're going to reduce car crashes. But I think I can safely say in this world there's never going to be deliverance from accidents, and crashes, and injuries. Does the world deliver from the fear of an economic downturn, financial distress? Maybe all of the politicians and the businessmen can come up with all kinds of government programs and stimulus packages to try to assure you you're never going to have to worry about where your money's going to come from, your food's going to come from. And yet, I think it's safe to say in this life, there's never going to be a full freedom and perfect guarantee of financial peace and welfare. Does the world deliver from the fear of injury, sickness, or pain? And then you look around in the world and you see all of the people with injuries, sicknesses, and pains. And you know, the world doesn't give any deliverance from fear or any peace. But then you think of the greater fears. Even if the world was able to do something about these lesser fears that we might have, what can the world do in the face of sin? What can the world do about Satan? What can the world do about temptation? What can the world do about hell? And what can the world do about God and the wrath of God because of sin? And you know, that apart from Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, there's no peace with God. No peace anywhere in the world. Here is the blessing of the resurrection for us, and why John 20, in connection now with the text that we are considering this morning, is so beautiful. Every Sunday, beloved, is now Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is now the Lord's Day. Every Sunday is the day in which Jesus Christ is pleased by His Word and His Spirit to gather with His people when they gather together as a congregation to worship Him. He's present here this morning. That's the blessing of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is present here this morning, just as He was there in the upper room with His disciples. Jesus Christ is here declaring to you, be not afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of because of my death and resurrection. And Jesus Christ is the one who says, peace be to you. That passes all understanding. Beloved, where would those disciples have been that first Sunday without Jesus Christ and His message of peace? We have an idea, don't we? They were in that upper room with locked doors. They were afraid. They were fearful. They were sad and sorrowful without the presence and the word of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came to them and He brought them the message of peace. I ask you, where would you be without Sunday? Without the presence of Jesus Christ when we gather together on the Lord's Day, and without the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would be in this fallen, sinful world, and we would be sad and sorry and miserable, wouldn't we? We would think in this fallen, sinful world of dying and death, that death is the strongest. And none is stronger than death. And that death is the last word. But then we come together to church on Sunday, elders, congregation, and Jesus comes with His word of peace and resurrection and says, I am the life. I am the Lord over death and the grave. I'm the strongest. And by my word and by my spirit, I give you life and peace, and you have nothing to fear. The blessing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is then, first of all, deliverance from fear or peace. And then secondly, the promise of the resurrection of our bodies. The women leave the cemetery. Then Jesus appears to them. He would appear, it is true, John 19 records that, to Mary Magdalene in the cemetery. But Mary Magdalene wasn't there to hear the word of the angel that is recorded in the gospel accounts, where the angel said, why look ye for the living among the dead? And because the angel said that to these women, it wouldn't have been appropriate for Jesus to appear to them there in the graveyard in the land of the dead. Jesus waited until they left the cemetery, until they had entered into the land of the living again. And there Jesus appears to them. There they see the living Lord Jesus Christ. Face to face. Beloved, that's our hope. We will not see Him here. We don't look for Him bodily here in this world, which is the land of the dead. Jesus is in heaven. He's in the place of the living who have eternal life. And when we die, in our souls we will go to the land of the living, living in our souls, and see Jesus as He is now in His resurrection body and glory. But beloved, we need hope for our bodies as well, don't we? Does it bother you to think about Mrs. Westra having to be committed to the ground Monday to be buried in a cemetery and left there? Does it bother you to think about a beloved brother, uncle, dead in the body? He has to be buried, returned to the dust of the ground. Does it bother you to think about your own body one day being buried in the ground, dead and decaying? It bothers me. I don't like that. As long as that body is dead in the ground, in some way, death holds sway over me. Death has conquered me. Or so it appears for a while. The message of the resurrection of Jesus is fear not. One day the living Lord, who is the Lord over death and the grave, is going to come and call you by name. And then you're going to experience what Job speaks of in Job long ago. In this my body, with my eyes, I will see my risen Redeemer. Beloved, hearing this gospel of Jesus' resurrection, the women were required to believe it. They were required to believe the word of Jesus Christ when He spoke it to them. They were required to hear the word of Jesus Christ and to believe it when it was spoken by His messenger, the angel. And they did believe it. Theirs is the response of faith. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior who died and who rose again. And the evidence of their faith is also indicated by their obedience. When the angel commands them and commissions them to go and tell the disciples, this is the evidence of their faith. They leave the cemetery. They head for the disciples to fulfill the word of the angel. This same gospel, as I've already indicated, is preached in your ears this morning. The word of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? You, seeing but not hearing, must believe that Jesus Christ is living, that He is our Lord and our Savior and our hope. Now let's go forth showing that we truly believe that Jesus is the living Lord, first of all, by telling others. Let others know. This is the gospel. This is the good news that everyone needs to hear. In this world of sin and death, there is a life and salvation through the living Lord Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He died to pay for sins, but He is risen. And then let us show it by living every day in obedience to the word, to the commands of Jesus Christ. If He's dead, there's no reason to obey His word. And if you don't live in obedience to the word of Jesus Christ, you show that you don't really believe that He's alive, but you think He is dead. But if you believe that He is living, and that He is Lord, then you will show it by obeying His word, preached, and as you find it in the Scriptures. The testimony is plain. Jesus is the risen Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the beautiful and astonishing and yet very simple gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, that He who humbled Himself has been exalted by Thee in the resurrection and in His ascension and in His coronation to the highest place in heaven and over all the universe. We thank Thee too for what a wonderful blessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ is for us. Apply to us, Father, that peace to our hearts that drives away all fear and anxiety about anything, and that gives unto us a hope that is beyond anything that we could think or imagine, that not just Jesus who died is alive again, but that we who die one day in our bodies too will be alive again. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 227. Blessed they who dwell in Zion, whose joy and strength thou art. Forever they will praise thee, thy ways are in their heart. Though tried, their tears like showers shall fill the springs of peace. And all the way to Zion, their strength shall still increase. Let's sing the three stanzas of 227.